Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we dish General Hospital's 50th anniversary and the Nurses Ball. A One Life to Live co-head writer is out. Summer tries to seduce Kyle on The Young and the Restless. Jen Lilly heads to Days. Brooke and Bill have sex on Bold and the Beautiful. And HLN will air the 40th annual Daytime Emmy Awards. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Don't do that. Hello.
Reagan Salura, welcome.
Hello, Luke.
And Melody Akles, welcome.
Hey.
Fantastic week in soaps this last week. So much of it to discuss. Let's start off with General Hospital's 50th anniversary episode and the Nurses Ball. Where do we start? There were surprises, there were performances, there were touching moments.
Well, and let's just start with the lame. Let's just start that.
Okay, Jillian, what did you think was lame?
Mac and that dummy. Hello, you're trying to compete with Frisco Super Spy Jones, Mr. All I Need, and you bust out a dummy? I'm like, you the dummy, dummy? What is that? I did not like that. Thought that was lame.
I have to admit, crossed my mind is like, what did John J. York do to deserve this?
Yes. Somebody just get a bag of termites and throw it on that dummy. I'm like, God, that was just stupid. It wasn't bad. The Nurses Ball was cool. I could have done without the watered down Magic Milo moment. I'm like, Channing Tatum.
I like the Magic Milo moment.
I didn't like it.
If we were going to cut a number, we could have cut Spinelli and Red Snapper. We could have cut a bit out. I'd have been fine.
Well, okay. So, Mel, what were your...
Anderson is, that was kind of stupid.
Before we get to the high points then, Mel, what was your low point? Since we're apparently starting with low points.
Like Jillian said, we're going to make Mac look like a dummy. I don't understand why, because he's so beautiful. They could have just had him up there just smiling. I'd have been like, okay,
down,
this
girl,
is good.
Down.
I'm fine with this.
Heel.
Like I said before, Spinelli and Red Snapper, she blinded me with science. Okay, that's nice, because I could have sworn Red Snapper was on a hook last week with a walker, but you know, whatever, it works. I don't care.
Reagan? Oh, sorry, keep going, Mel.
I was going to say, and I was a little disappointed we didn't get to see AJ and Liz's number. Like, I kind of would want to see that, but they just skipped it, but okay, whatever.
Reagan, did you have any low points?
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of Ellie and Spinelli. Like I just said, Bradford Anderson's pretty darn talented, and that kind of was lame for him.
Ellie and Spinelli were kind of smelly.
John J. York and that dummy were a little stupid. The jokes were
bad.
Bad, yeah, they were just bad. I mean, there isn't even a good pun for them. They were just bad. I could have done, and I really could have done without the whole Brit thing. I mean, let us have our Nurses Ball. Let the whole scheming doctor thing come at another time.
Do your mustache twirling elsewhere, darling.
Yeah. Not amused.
Well, yeah. Now that we've gotten the low points out of the way, let's talk about the wonderful things. We had all kinds of great surprises, performances. What was your favorite moment, Jillian?
My Brenda Hocheck and Carla. I'm like, you better tell her like it is, bitch. I'm like, that's Brenda's man, ho. Watch yourself. I was glad, you know, look, come on, Frank. Like, you supposed to be the man. Be the man and bring the woman back. Bring Brenda back. You have a capable head writer now. I mean, y'all know Bobby G is my homie, but Brenda's last stint, it's just like when Stavros was on. We don't ever talk about it. You know what I mean? Because it was just so lame. But now,
well, not only that, but the new promos for Carly versus Brenda look amazing. And I told Reagan today on Instant Messenger, if this had been Brenda's return storyline last time, my God,
this
it would
have been
fantastic.
Hot. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, say, look, Anessa, you ain't doing nothing. They're not bringing Las Vegas back. Josh Duhamel is doing other things. Everybody else doing other things. Sign on the dotted line, girl, and come on back. Like, you know, Frisco's All I Need was so
I was
like, you better. I'm like, Felicia, you know you want to throw some draws at him and be like, ah! I'm like, girl, stop playing. Monica and Tracy on the red carpet. Yeah. Look, I'm sorry. Jane Elliott, a woman of her age, she worked that red carpet. I tweeted that out. I'm like, you better work, bitch. She worked that red carpet. She worked it harder than a hoe on a stroll. She was just amazing. Everything else was pretty cool with the number. I mean, you know, I mean, it, I guess, you know, the whole Sam and Maxim number thing was the setup for it was a little cheesetastic. But the execution for the setup, as in him getting her to dance, but the execution was good because, yeah.
I think that they've incorporated his guest stint fantastic.
I didn't like it. I didn't like how, no, I'm saying, like, I didn't like how they got him to get her to dance. I thought that was lame. So I didn't like it, but the execution of the dance itself and everything was great. My girl worked it, and Maxim, you know, I'm a Sam fan, but I was too busy looking at Maxim and his ass, because I'm like, damn, you got a nice ass. But, yeah, that's a shallow
okay. Now, what were your high points or ass-tastic points, apparently?
Richard Simmons just came out of the closet!
Oh, that was fan. Whoever wrote that line, amazing. I'm kidding.
When he hooked up, when he yelled, "Who cares about Monica?" I said, "Whoop!" I thought that was funny.
I had to pause General Hospital on the live feed because I couldn't recover from that line. It was fantastic. Richard Simmons and Lucy's fight, amazing, amazing. Loved it. I really liked Epiphany, Monica, and Tracy's number. I thought Sonya Edie did a really fantastic job with the song, and they was killing it in them outfits. And I liked the Magic Bottle thing because Felix has moves, y'all. Woo, he was killing it all.
That's what Reagan was telling me, because I hadn't had a chance to watch it when she was telling me about it. Reagan, what were your thoughts on the high points?
Spinelli, button up. Next time, Spinelli, put on a wife beater.
Yeah, Max and Milo may be brothers in real life, but they don't have the same body.
One's also significantly older than the other. Suspect.
So highly for me.
You could be old and be fine.
Stephen Nichols, that man is what, 60 and looks like he is in his what, 30s. Back up now.
My absolute highest point was my Jack Wagner up on that stage singing. I'm sorry, Frisco Jones belting
it
out.
The glow stick. Did you light? Did you hold up a lighter in the air?
Oh my God, I was dying. First of all, Jamie tweeted me, "Where is Reagan? Frisco is singing," and I hadn't yet watched the episode, and I just like, I have to watch it right this second. I have to. I was singing. I probably rewound it 10 different times and sang it all 10 times, and that's an episode that's going to stay on my DVR until I lose my DVR. I loved Sabrina and Emma. They were adorable because I love that little Emma.
I put this on Twitter, but it's gotten to the point with little Emma that they had better not Sorass that character, because I want her to be like Robin, and I want to watch her grow up on screen if it's possible, because
and
I think she's adorable.
Bust out when you be like little Robin, when Kimberly Collar be like, look, bitch.
They better do something with that girl, because she is going to be snatched up by something bigger.
So what did you guys think of Ugly Betty's makeover?
I mean, wash, rinse, lather. I mean, I knew it was going to be predictable. I mean, you know, the girl is gorgeous. It was kind of cool for Patrick to be like, what? But, you know, Milo always, what I liked about it was that Milo always saw her as a beauty to me. So, you know, I kind of wish they wouldn't make it a one-sided thing with her feelings all for Patrick. I wish it was like, you know, I like Patrick, but, it, you know, I'm kind of feeling Milo, so she can be confused, because, you know, Patrick is all like, oh, girl, work, you know, whereas Milo always thought she was pretty. For her to be like, you know, he sees me for who I am, but he's starting to see me, I'm conflicted, so...
I thought Milo deleting the voicemail was a little bit out of left field for the character of Milo that we've come to know.
You know, can't characters change a little bit? Why do they have to?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that it can't change. I just thought when I watched it, it was like, that's a little bit different for Milo. What did you guys think of all the actual 50th anniversary? We had Audrey return. We had Emily and Alan and Rick Weber as guests. We had, of course, we've already mentioned Brenda. We had Jack's return. Ethan was unmasked, being held hostage. Reagan, what were your thoughts?
Brenda's return, like we've already said, way better this time around than last time. Loved Audrey. Audrey celebrating Steve's, what would have been his 50th anniversary at GH. Was very touching. Loved my Elizabeth scenes with Audrey. Didn't really want to stomach the stuff with Nicholas, but I loved this time that she had with her Grams. Emily and Alan and Rick Weber. I kind of feel like Rick Weber could have had on a suit that actually fit him.
Shut up.
The best part about that scene was Monica and
yeah, Grace's. they were the highlight of the scene. You know, Natalia Livingston, she's, you know, I don't hate her as much as everybody else does, but
I don't hate her, but she's not Emily.
She's not Emily. And I think, you know, Amber Tamlin's post on Facebook about what GH means to her sort of shows why.
They should have gotten her back. Yeah. Like, you know, obviously Frank ain't got that mojo, because Frank, you could have worked your mojo and gotten that chick back, and that would have been amazing. I could have done without Emily being on there. The only highlight of her being in that middle moment was even dead. And even when she is she is co-signing Tracy is still checking her. I thought that was fantastic. Tracy just opened up a can on her and her fake mama and Rick Weber. I just thought that was, I was like, leave it to Tracy, even when you're dead, and trying to back Tracy up. Tracy is still like, bitch, I'm solo. I don't need no backup singer.
I do not miss Emily. No. Natalia Livingston's Emily. No. Mel, what are your thoughts?
I liked it for the most part as a pretty much new General Hospital viewer. I, you know, enjoy things. I liked Audrey. She was really good. Started reminding me of my old God and Light, and then I started getting too emotional, but that's not the point. That's not the point. Yeah. General Hospital. All the stuff with Helena and all that, I found it to be...
Do you think she's really dead?
Absolutely not. Like, come on. Helena was not dead.
She better be. Look here, Ron.
I told Reagan if Helena's actually dead, there's going to be problems.
Please, she need to die, just die. I'm tired of Super Granny coming back, popping up like some Jack in the Box. I'm back, bitches. No, she needs to take a dirt nap.
Listen, it seems to me that Ron has a hit list of my favorite characters. Ron, he's either shooting him or killing him.
Thank you very much, Ron. I was happy. Look, I love Helena, but she has become too mustache twirling. Like, cut it out.
All
enough
of that stuff was over the top.
It looks like you could take your index finger and thumb and break that lady's wrist. And she's, you know, wielding a gun that looks like it weighs more than her.
I was kind of like disappointed that Laura's all...
I want her to shoot Ethan.
You know, I went there because I'm like, you know, I was like, Laura, you know what? I'm like, it didn't even happen to me, but I wanted Laura to just snatch that gun from Helena and be like, you know what? You damn right. I was captive on your damn island trying to fight for my life while this mofo, and I come back to this mofo in one piece and gave up my firstborn. And what does he do? He go catting around with that bitch Holly and you back with this stray boy, and for her to bust one and loot and to pop, pop, shoot Ethan too, and for him to be like, crikey, why'd you shoot me? And she be like, because you get on my nerves and the viewers don't like your ass too. Shit. And then shoot Helena or something.
I didn't mind Ethan back. I don't think he's so...
I didn't want him.
He don't need to stay, but he could come say hi every once in a while.
You got to go home, but you got to get the hell up off that set. How about that?
Well, someone who will be arriving on our TV screens is Emmy Ryland. She will be... her first episode will be April 11th.
Known as Marcy Ryland, y'all.
Yes, the artist formerly known as Marcy Ryland. In some other arrival and departure news, not to make this episode sound like an airport terminal, Susie Bedso-Horgan is out as One Life to Live's co-head writer. She had been working with Tom Ursina. It'll be interesting to see what develops there with her departure.
They did that shit right up under my nose because I just came back from Lambie. I'm like, damn, y'all slick. Y'all good.
Well, tell us about your visit. You're going to be putting more on the blog, but give us a little tease.
A little tease? What, you want me to show a little leg and pull it right back, huh? Fresh! I told y'all, Luke, fresh. What they're having set up is amazing over there. They are, like, the energy is just electric over there. It's fantastic. I enjoyed it. Shout out to Prospect Park and their PR team because I told Jamie, last time I was in Landview, I screamed in that phone, I'm not coming back here because of the treatment that I got trying to even get in the door. I was like, I don't care. Frank and Ron was like, girl, we gonna sit down and tell you the tea about who doing who and what's going on, you know? I was like, I'm not coming back up in this bitch. Never! And then when they sent the invite, I was like, well, it's a new regime, so I'll go. And they were amazing. Saw Roger Haworth on the set, kids. So, was trying to interview with him, but, you know, that cat's very, very... I want to interview with press. So I was like, yeah, I'll let you have this run, but next time I'm going to get you, Roger. Tuck Watkins was there. Funny guy. Jerry Verdorn, amazing. Sora Corbin, bleh. And he seems like he's fitting in there. Danny. Let's just say Danny, girl. I guess she's learning from her big sister star. She's starting to become like the hottest commodity around there. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Anything between Dorian and Vicky or Slazak and Strasser?
Well, I interviewed with Slazak. Strasser was on set, so I couldn't mess with her. But Eric Slazak, it was amazing to interview with her. I'm working to transcribe that as we speak. She, you know, one thing I love about her, she is not a company girl. You know, hello, Susan Lucci, how you doing? Look, I understand, you know, you want to be respectful and this and that, but one thing I like about Slazak, she's respectful and she tells it like it T.I. is, as Jamie would say. She, you know, was honest about how she felt about Prospect Park, and she was honest about ABC. You know, she, even though they had that little breaky break for One Life to Live, she still seemed to be, and she still is now, she still seems to have her ear to the ground, so to speak, in the world of soap. So, and we talked about that, and that's going to go up on there. So, you know, good stuff is coming your way. I met the young man, Robert Gorey, his name? Yeah, who's playing new Matthew. Really funny guy. Cool cat. He gave me some tea, even though he didn't mean to give me tea. He gave me some tea about what's going on, and let's just say things aren't always what they seem to be.
Something that is sort of usually what it seems to be is Bold and the Beautiful. Reagan, this last week, Bill and Brooke had sex, and immediately on Instant Messenger, you were, Katie's going to end up in the hospital. And lo and behold, Katie ended up in the hospital. There's that. Some things about Bold and the Beautiful that you can just predict.
Well, she got that bum hard. I mean, she just like Ashley Abbott in a way. You yell at her, look at Ashley too hard, and she pick up her, you know, she pick up a remote control, and it's like, look at my baby, you know. You say, ha-choo, Katie in the hospital with that screwed up heart, so.
Reagan, what did you think of Bill and Brooke and then Katie in the hospital?
Well, my first thought before that bitch is going to have a heart attack was, is she even out of the damn driveway before you two went at it? And then I thought, oh, man, they're going to have her have a heart attack. Sure enough, she had a heart attack.
You know what I would really like, though? I really would like for this to go down like this. You know, Bill and Bill and Brooke, I've said before, and you can go back and check if you want to, but I've always said they should have been a couple before this Bill and Katie thing. It should have been Bill, Brooke, and Ridge. That would have been epic. I mean, because Bill and Brooke, they're very forbidden. You know you're not supposed to like them, but you do. And you know they're not supposed to be together, but you still, you're not rooting for them, but you just still want to see, you know, Bill and Brooke climb each other like a tree. What I would like for this to go down, I would like for them to do their little dalliance or whatever. And I would like for Katie to just be a fucking bitch on wheels with the both of them. For Katie to just rip Brooke a new one and just not put up with anyone's shit anymore. And for maybe Thorne to, like, you know, sit down and commiserate with her. And Katie to just be this uber, like, independent woman. She is independent, but, you know, this uber bitch, this, like, take no prisoners bitch on wheels, and for Bill to just look at her and be like, this was my woman that I had, that I let slip through my fingers, and for him to be like, hey, for her to be like, ain't you too busy trying to be up in Brooke's bedroom? Take your funky ass back on there. And for, you know, Bill to just be like, okay, I want my wife back after seeing how, you know, fiery she can be.
Well, what I like, well, Ryan, not... what she was doing, giving the rings, this, that, and the third.
Wait. Has Bold and the Beautiful sucked Melody back?
I may have watched a few episodes of Bold and the Beautiful this week.
Something has happened on Bold and the Beautiful to get Melody to watch.
It was my Victoria, and I had a moment. I was like, what's this fucking crying?
Wasn't Heather Tom just a fantastical, not even fantastic.
Oh, she's been amazing.
She's amazing. But just the fact that whole conversation with Katie and Bill and Brooke, and Katie's all, you should be with Brooke, and you'll let me together. Here's your rings back. And he's like, no, don't do it. And then she's like, no, I'm going to go. And he's like, bye. And he turned around, and there was Brooke ready to roll. So it was just like a... I agree they need to make Katie a stronger character. There we go.
I am so happy that Mel has watched Bold and the Beautiful.
Mel, keep watching it. I mean, if you get some time, you need to watch some old clips.
So, well, not only that, but now that you've been sucked in, it will end up being like Reagan. Reagan can't stand watching it sometimes, but she can't stop herself.
No, I can't. I have become a fan.
And then I found that two bitches having y'all title, sing it to the editor. You would think you hoes would be watching.
I am watching it. I just said I have become a fan.
And then I saw that Caroline and Daisy all in Rick and
Caroline has had the biggest, giantest personality makeover.
It's sort of like the Steffi syndrome. When Steffi was all sugar and spice and people were like, ugh, drop a ham on that girl, she got to go. And then
those Acme giant bricks blocks they used to have in the Coyote cartoons. Yeah, that's what it's all on her.
The best thing that ever happened to that girl was becoming a nasty bitch.
I don't like that they did
that scene with her touching that freaking porn star that I'm like, oh,
I put in my recap.
Back. 2 major steps back.
How much do you want to bet that at some point she gets blackmailed into doing it? I mean, it's on its way. You can almost see
it. What I don't like, though, is them having Daisy become this, like, scheming person. You know,
it's
really out of character. It's out of left field. Like, she chastised, like, that was one of the things that broke her and Thomas up for the things that he did. He did it for the sake of his family's company. She's just doing it just because she just don't want this heifer in her business. And I'm just like, this is not Daisy. I mean, Daisy scolded Stephanie, and that was her ace. That was, you know, the woman who was like, my people, who saved her from the streets, so to speak. She all being like, this is really out of character. That's what I don't like about this. I really don't like that at all.
Let's talk about something that we will all love, and that is that HLN will be airing the 40th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards this year for the second year in a row. They did a good job last year. They're coming back for more this year. This year, as Jamie put in the post, soaps are in a much better place than they were last year. What are your guys' thoughts? Reagan?
I'm excited. I think they did a pretty good job last year. So
ask Jeannie Cooper that.
Well, I think, you know, for where, what channel it was on and what we were all expecting, and what the CW did with it, I was pretty impressed last year, so I'm excited and glad it's, you know, on network TV, considering where we were a year ago and what we thought we were going to be dealing with. So I'm excited and happy and looking forward to it.
Now, Jillian, you scored a screen cap on Twitter before a post was deleted that revealed that Jen Lilly's at Days of Our Lives.
Ta-da! How you like it now?
What are your thoughts on her?
Well, I like Jen Lilly. You know, I liked her, but she did a good job filling in for Kiki, but you know Kiki is my maxi. So I'm just wondering, is Days doing a you filled in for Kiki, now you're going to do it again? But no, it's not going to be the case. It just makes you wonder who she's going to play because, you know, the reports are that she's going to be linked to someone on the canvas, but she's not replacing someone. She's not being a recast. And it's like, who the hell could it be? I'm like, is she another Horton? Shit. I'm like, God, it's like,
all I know is
a busload of you people.
When I found out it wasn't going to be Belle, there was a big sigh of relief.
It'll be a Belle.
I sent it to him, and he was like, oh, God, if she's Belle, I'm like, they said it's not a recast.
I think she's a talented actress, but like you said, I really like Kirsten Storms as Maxie, and I really liked her as Belle, and I just, it would be too much of a...
She can't be both.
She can't play both of Kirsten Storm's characters.
Unless, unless Days somehow acquires GH or vice versa, that ain't gonna happen, no.
Let's talk a little bit more about Days of Our Lives. This last week, Abby and Chad did a little bit of sleuthing and discovered that Cameron is stripping to help pay his student loans. And support his mother, Celeste. Now, I couldn't help the irony of a doctor having to strip to support a psychic. You would think that either A, she'd be able to predict her income before it happens, or B, that he could find some other way to make money.
Well, that wasn't Celeste's thing. Celeste never gave you the lotto numbers, Luke. Don't you do that.
Well, no, I know, but I mean, come on. This woman is...
Don't you
listen. Celeste had amazing powers.
No. You don't come for Celeste unless she sends for you, sucker. Don't you do it. Celeste is the main one.
Okay, anymore.
Don't you call me that bitch. No, but that is a tight line that she spat out, so I can't even front. But no, Celeste is the type of person, she'll be like, Luke, doom, darling. And then you'll be like, what doom? And then you don't see Celeste anymore, man. A truck hits you. And then Celeste comes back and is like, I told you, dumbass, the doom was coming. That's not a Celeste's wheelhouse. What I think, which is just a little, is the fact, you know, didn't Lexi leave y'all something in the will? I'm sure Abe could break y'all off with a little something, something. All the secrets that Celeste kept for Stefano, you mean to tell me they can't throw her a bone or something? That's the only part where I'm just like, huh? But I'm like, is Sally Mae knocking at y'all? What is it? Is it Sally Mae or Fannie Mae? Sally Mae is the student loan people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't. But you know,
Fannie Mae is the mortgage company.
No shit. I ain't never borrowed from none of them. But. You know, I'm like, is Sally Mae that busting down your door that fast? I thought that was really like, really like, whoa.
Well, I thought the other thing that I thought when it happened is, well, I guess this makes sense as to why they recast the role. Let's talk a little bit more about the goings-on in Salem. Daniel, Chloe, Jennifer, the snortastic triangle that the only good thing is Chloe. I will say this, in Jennifer Horton's defense,
what?
I have not enjoyed Jennifer as much as when she just ripped Daniel to shreds in the hospital because she was basically forced to do it. It was like, boy, Jennifer would be a much more interesting character if she did that once or more often.
Let's put a teller, they're like, she'll be interesting if she was dead. I'm like, wow, y'all are mean. I just... Days is really starting to turn itself around. That is the one jarring thing that it's like, why are you fighting tooth and nail to force down people's throats? It almost feels like when Franz was trying to force down our throats, Ryan and Greenlee, when people, you know, I can't find anybody that was a Ryan and Greenlee fan. I've never seen a Ryan Greenlee fan 2000 come at me on Twitter and be like, don't you be talking about them chilling? Nothing. Like, it's the same thing with Daniel and Jennifer. Why are you forcing that down people's people's throats. That is not the end game. Jennifer's man, the man that she will forever love, is Jack. Why won't you go and get Matt Ashford back? Like, stop treating him like the red-headed, pink-headed, or, you know, let Lauren Coslow, if it's Lauren Coslow, blue-headed stepchild. Like, stop. This storyline would be better if it was gone. I'm sorry. Even with Nadia Bjorlund in it, it makes it a little bit watchable, but they need to just
her and Nancy scheming is the only redeeming thing about it. That is the only redeeming thing. But let's talk about The Young and the Restless. Mel, you asked me before the podcast, are we going to discuss Carmine and Lauren having sex again after she said she wasn't going to? And I said, of course we're going to. They're one of the hottest couples in soaps. What are your thoughts?
It's so funny, though, before you go, I'm sorry, but it's so funny because I remember you said this, Luke, like months ago. You were like, they would be hot. We were like, yeah, they would be. And then I'm like, I guess someone listened and they was just like, ew, because they are fire.
That's what they are. Oh, they are so sexy. And I don't know why. I just love how Laura can't stay away from Carmine and be like, here my key. You know where I'm going to be. Here, come by my place at this time. Laura like, no, I'm not going to do that. 10 minutes later, she knocking on the door. And ooh, Carmine.
But people are like, I can't believe Lauren. I'm like, Lauren put the femme fatale. She put the femme in femme fatale, baby. She gave Brad Carlton a heart attack putting it on him. This is Lauren. Like, only these past regimes made her some, you know, oh, Michael, you're in your femme. Yeah, like, this is what she's at. And I'm so glad they've gone, you know, Weiner's been a little for me. But this is like, I'm like, okay, I can get down with y'all making Lauren go back into her roots. Now, if you can unmake Jilla Fenmore, it'll be fantastic.
What did you guys think of Adam waking up and him and Victor sharing a little bit of a father-son bonding moment?
Oh, that gonna happen today, and by Friday, someone gonna try to run someone over. Victor gonna try to spike his Wheaties, and Adam gonna take his bran muffin away and make Victor all kinds of It is what it is with those two. I wouldn't expect for those two to be, you know, Dad, let's go down to the fishing hole. Okay, son. No, it's not going to happen. I mean, it was touching to see Adam finally get, you know, a little love from Victor. But we know Adam. Adam going to do something that Victor don't like. He going to take the last Kit Kat bar and Victor going to be like, how dare you, and flip out and try to headbutt that boy. That's just how the wheel works with those two.
Mel, Summer attempted once again to seduce Kyle, but Kyle is impervious to her charms. What are your thoughts?
She's her mother's daughter. Yawn. They need to go and make that girl a stripper. I got this whole theory on how to fix this situation, y'all. Okay? Work with me here. Nick needs to sell that whatever underground club, whatever that shit is. He needs to sell that to Kevin so he can take back over the Crimson Lights, right? And then Kevin... Kevin should turn the underground into a strip club, okay? So Kevin, he can be running
numbers. Ooh, I like where you're headed.
He can do all kind of shady stuff, but he make it look legit, right? And then Summer, because she done lost her way now, and she wants control over her life, because, you know, Phyllis trying to control her and tell her what to do and this, that, and the third. She can become a stripper. So, hey, Young and the Restless, get with me here. I like this idea.
That's actually pretty darn good.
Summer is stripping.
Following his grandmother's footsteps.
Exactly. Summer is stripping. Kevin is helping her. They make it buddy.
She's a Newman, though. I could see that working as if she was a Newman like Adam. They cut her off. That even Nick cuts her off. That Victor's like, bitch, kick rock. Then Nikki is like, look at here, trick. Something for a Victoria... to finally wake up and be like,
Kevin is at his best when he's smarmy.
That's what I'm saying.
So this would make Kevin smarmy again.
But I mean,
name the underground. That sounds like a strip club, don't it? Come on,
yeah,
y'all.
It does. What was the situation?
What was Sonny's called on General Hospital? I can't remember.
Paradise Lounge.
Well, Nick proposed to Avery, but she's a little bit wobbly. Guys, what are your thoughts?
John.
She doesn't say I love you back when he says it. I mean, why did he think she was going to say yes to
Jason Dillon? I mean, Dillon Jason. I mean, whatever.
Just call him
apparently,
Jason.
Jason's guns are better than Nick's guns.
Yeah, we saw a flash of it, and then he put on a turtleneck in bed. I'm like, what is this? put some more skin, please. Stop teasing a tease. Shit.
Well, final thought, Jillian.
My final thought is I don't want to see no more Magic Milo. Sorry, Frank and Ron. I know y'all like y'all all about the eye candy, but I could have a V8 instead of that. Sorry.
Mel?
Final thought. Love the nurse's ball, and I like to see, like seeing that old Dr. Obrick get down. She has some moves. She was boogieing, so I like that.
Reagan?
Are you ready for Magic Michael, Jillian?
Ugh, no.
Mm-mm.
So I can have a poom juice instead of seeing that, and I don't like
are
that.
Are you not ready for Michael and Brenda?
Ugh, God, why are they doing that to me?
They doing that for real? That boy don't know what to do with all that woman.
You're not fast.
You know Sonny is going to like
that.
Oh, you know what?
That's going to be good for Sonny and Michael's relationship.
It's going to be good for Sonny because I love seeing my Sonny mad throwing glass to the ground and shit. I wish it was
barware. It's been far too long. Yeah.
As I told Reagan,
wasn't a part of like a warring mob family or something, because then we'd get the mob set off again. Because I miss the mob.
As I told Reagan about it, if this happens, then it will be good for Michael and Sonny, because I've always disliked the fact that Michael has been, I want to be a mobster 2.0, and so having this friction between father and son will make it so that he can go a little bit further down the Quartermain path, which, as much as I'm enjoying him in his scenes opposite AJ, he still feels to me more of Sonny's son. And
well,
so I'm hoping that that's what happens.
Well, my final thought is really, Gabby, don't mess with Samantha Jean Brady. If you don't know, you better ask somebody. You better ask Alan Harris.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Like us on Facebook. Add us as a friend on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Y'all listening.